Our thanks to Bill Bow for bringing in the police officer's uniform. Tony and Rosie Catarucci, the fireman's uniform. Richard and Ellen, civilian dress. And Richard Nyberger for bringing in his son Chris's uniform. We will never forget Chris. In remembrance, how do we remember in a biblical way, in a way that honors the past, but also shapes a future of hope? There are two major stories in the Bible that guide us in this. The Exodus story. Each Passover, there's a time of remembering. And the Jesus story, particularly Holy Communion. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, before the children of Israel leave the bonds of slavery, the night before the Red Sea parts, there are instructions on what they should do. They should be ready. They shall eat unleavened bread. They shall put blood over the doorposts. Here's what verse 14 says. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. And in the New Testament, Jesus, on that night, from the words of Luke 22, and he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the covenant in my blood. How do these stories in Scripture guide us as we make our way forward into a future with hope? How do we allow our memories not to make us bitter or hold us, keep us stuck in the past, but to shape the future? In reflecting on the Exodus story and the Passover, which is told every year, and the little child says, why do we do this? And they say, because we were slaves in Egypt. We were slaves under the affliction and oppression of Pharaoh. But God with a mighty arm, God with a mighty arm freed us from that. And we celebrate that today for a new future. He freed us through the Red Sea, took us into the wilderness. And some of our ancestors long for the past, long for the oppression with a good meal under the slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt. But God in his generosity poured out manna upon us. And bread is always a symbol of divine generosity. And God gave us these 10 words of instruction to formulate our community. And so we remember that day so that we can shape a future. And so when you get to Deuteronomy, chapters 15, 23, and 24, there are instructions there. Because God has delivered you from slavery, never make somebody a slave again. You've been there. Don't do it to somebody else. Every 7 years, the instructions were to forgive the debt of all the poor people. So there would be no permanent underclass. And when you harvest your fields of wheat and your olive trees and your grapes, leave some for the alien, the widow, and the orphan, because you know what it's like to be an alien in a strange land. Be kind to the alien. So the Passover is intended, this remembering was a way to shape a greater future. Move to Joshua chapters 3, 4, and such. As they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land of Canaan, and God instructs Joshua to have 12 priests, one from each tribe, to pull out a stone, a rock from the river, and pile them up, and put a big pile there so wide, because when your children say, "Why is this pile of rocks here?" you'll tell the story, "We were once slaves." But God has given us a new place, a new future, a new hope. So remembering in the Scripture is to shape a new future, a new hope. The exile, as disastrous as it was in 587, for Jerusalem to be destroyed, leveled, ashes. Out of the ashes came the hope. People in Babylon wanted to remember, so they pulled together all the stories and finalized this book we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, because they didn't want to forget the thing that made them who they are. I reread Billy Graham's words at the service of remembrance in the cathedral 3 days after the attacks. He named 3 lessons from the tragedy: the mystery and reality of evil. Secondly, our need for each other. Third, a word of hope for the future. He said a tragedy like this could have torn this country apart, but instead it has united us, and we become a family. We are more united than ever before. I hope we can find that same unification. He concluded by offering us a choice. Now we have a choice, whether to implode and disintegrate emotionally and spiritually as a people and a nation, whether we choose to become stronger through all of this struggle, to rebuild on a solid foundation. And I believe we're in the process of starting to rebuild on that foundation. Memory. 2 weeks ago, Interfaith Hospitality Network was here. I remember visiting a young mother out in the parking lot. Her daughter was among the scout, Girl Scouts, who served dessert a particular night. And I asked her how that was. I said, "Thank you for doing that." And she began to well up with tears. She said, "I'll never forget it. My daughter will never forget it." I saw a father there who's done everything right, but whose circumstances is out of work. He was making a sandwich for his 3 children the next day. He was just making the sandwiches. And I thought, when I put our kids' lunch together, I said, "Do you want Cheez-Its or potato chips or Doritos or whatever? And do you want this or this or this?" And he was making a sandwich. She will be different because of that memory. And as I sent out in an e-message, Catherine Harris, one of our wonderful college students who has an amazing gift for writing, talked about her night at Interfaith Hospitality Network. And she concluded it. I don't know if you got all the way to the end. She concluded by saying, "I remember. I'll never forget. I remember their faces. I remember the tables. I remember the circle when we held hands and prayed for a meal. I remember. And she will remember. I was thinking back to what I do occasionally, the vacation Jen and I had a number of years ago, 7, 8 years ago. We were in Colorado in the summer. Some of you may remember the story I told about we had had a rental car, and for some unknown reason, the rental car windshield wiper would not stop working. Do you remember that? It just kept going. I tried everything. I stopped. I did everything I could imagine. I got obsessed with that windshield wiper, as you would imagine. And then it dawned on me, you're missing the beauty of these mountains. And I call that to mind every now and then because I can get obsessed by certain things that are irritating, or I can remember to see out the windshield to God's majesty in creation. One of you gave me a book by Mitch Albom. I had read with joy his book Tuesdays with Maury, as people across the world have done. This one's called Have a Little Faith. And in here, his rabbi from central New Jersey had asked him on one occasion if he would write his eulogy. And so, as he did with Maury, he flew back and forth from Detroit and would meet with his rabbi over a period of 6 years, I believe. And in the course, he also met a fellow named Henry, whose story is similar to yours, Jennifer. And Henry is a pastor in Detroit. It's a wonderful story.
But somewhere, Mitch Albom asked the rabbi, what do people fear the most about death? He said, that's an interesting question. He said, I suppose it's, what will it be like? Will it be as I imagined it afterwards? And then he said, but there's another thing. He said, really? He said, yeah. The second really major fear is the fear of being forgotten. Will I be remembered? There's a need, a desire for all of us to be remembered. That's, I think, why I go out to the Memorial Garden fairly often and just look at the names. I don't want them forgotten. It's why I felt okay about asking Rich and Mary about bringing Chris's uniform. We don't want Chris forgotten. And most of these memorials, New York, Washington, Pennsylvania, the names. Remembering. It's been a fairly heavy morning. I have this sort of funny story that the rabbi tells. He said, I told about a man and his wife who went to see a counselor about their marriage, and somewhere in the course of the counseling, the man says, you know, when my wife gets angry, she gets historical. He said, you mean hysterical? He said, no, I mean historical. She remembers the history of everything I did wrong and recites it to him. And Jesus, the sort of paramount story, says on that night, do this in remembrance of me. What do you think he meant? What do you think he meant? Did he mean, as you go and live your life, remember the way I loved and try to live that way? Remember, I'm sure he didn't mean, remember what they did to me and be angry about it forever. No, remember, do this, remember it's me. Love as I love, live as I live, serve as I served. Never forget my presence, what I did in your midst. That's what I think he meant. What does it mean for you? In the communion liturgy, which we'll share in a few minutes, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon these gifts and bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. What does it mean for us to be the body of Christ? I'd like to suggest that it means concentric circles. It means that we seek to live as Christ would live with those closest to us. The rabbi told one other story, true story. He was at the graveside with a man who buried his wife. Lived together 50 years, married 50 years. And he stood by the rabbi, and the man just, tears in his, running down his cheek, said, I loved her. The rabbi said, I know. No, I mean, I really loved her. And the rabbi put his arm around him. And he said, and I almost told her once. And the rabbi said, the most haunting, horrible thing is the words we don't say. And I just say to you friends today that at least what Jesus meant is to express love to those closest to you. Express love to those closest to you. And then what does it mean for us in the church family, our community, is to try to be faithful, to live out this love of Christ? And for many of us, most of us at Trinity, all of us maybe, it means reaching out to our neighbors who have a different faith perspective than we, and that's what we're going to try to do tonight. In the spirit of the story of the Good Samaritan, that we love our neighbor. We get to know them. So, as you remember, let the memory help you and me to shape a future with hope. Let's join in our communion liturgy this morning. We thought of serving communion out to everybody, but I think we felt that we might need a time to get up and walk, maybe light a candle over there. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. There are stations all around.